This morning, date is February 15th, 2010. The time is approximately 8:05 a.m. In attendance today are Co-Chair Meyer, Vice Chair Davis, Senator Stevens, Senator Huggins, and myself, Co-Chair Thomas. I believe Senator Olson is on other business this morning. I don't know if he'll be able to join us or not. We do have a quorum to conduct business, however, and this is the Senate Education Committee, the 26th Alaska State Legislature. For the purpose of the meeting today is Senate Bill 213, an act providing for funding for school lunch and breakfast. The original bill had a typographical error, and so we are taking up a committee substitute today. We have a substitute before us, and I would entertain a motion that we adopt it for purposes of discussion. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that we have the CS for Senate Bill 213, / E, dated February 4th, 2010, before it says our working document.
Thank you. Is there objection? Hearing none. So adopted. Because of that error in the bill, we do not have an updated fiscal note. We anticipate the fiscal note will go down, but sometimes you don't want to anticipate such things. So therefore, we have with us today Senator Wilikowski, the sponsor of the bill, and his staff who will speak to it. We also have members of the administration with us that will be prepared to speak to the bill. So Senator Wilikowski, if you and your staff, George, would please come forward, put yourselves on the record, and give us an explanation of the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Bill Wilikowski. I'm State Senator for Northeast Anchorage, and I want to thank the co-chairs for agreeing to hear this as quickly as you did. I'd also like to thank the Alaska Food Coalition, the Alaska School Nutrition Association, and the Food Bank of Alaska for asking me to sponsor this legislation and working very closely on it with me as well and my staff. And for the record, my staff member George Ascott is here with any detailed questions you might have. And I know there's a number of people online as well. This bill will provide a state match for schools participating in the federal free and reduced price school breakfast and lunch program. This legislation will encourage more schools to provide nutritious meals for underprivileged children and allow schools that already do so to improve their programs. For every free and reduced price breakfast the federal program funds, the state will provide a match of 35 cents under this bill. For every free and reduced price lunch the federal program funds, the state will provide a match of 15 cents. And the vast majority of the United States do have some sort of state contribution. Alaska is one of the few that does not. Most school districts will receive some additional assistance through a funding formula based on the applicable school district cost factor for each district. Senate Bill 213 will cost the state money in the short term, but in both the short term and the long run, Alaska will be better off for this investment, in our opinion, Mr. Chair. Numerous studies have documented that eliminating hunger in children increases school performance, increases school attendance, decreases school violence, and helps to combat obesity, which has tremendous costs associated with it. By dealing with these problems now, we will help prevent problems that will prove to be much more costly in our society in the future. We've received a number of resolutions in support of this bill from a number of different school districts in your packet. I won't go through them. And we have a number of people present who can testify in more specifics about the bill. So I'll stop right there. Happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions of... I'd like to welcome Senator Olson. We weren't sure you were going to make it.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. Are there any questions of Senator Wilikowski? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill, what the 25 cent and the 15 cent, what do we anticipate that will buy us?
It's a contribution to the schools, and so it will enable the schools that currently provide these meals to increase the number of meals they provide or increase the number of students they provide, and it'll also allow certain school districts that don't provide these meals, it'll give them a state match that'll enable them to help get federal funds.
Right. So it's a federal match?
I don't know how my staff will explain exactly how that works.
This is George Ascott, staff to Senator Wilikowski. The federal government, through the school breakfast and lunch program, reimburses school districts who provide free or reduced breakfasts and lunches at a certain rate. And in this case, the state would simply match any reimbursement that would be submitted to the federal government, any reimbursement request by the school district. So if they said, school district said, well, we served X amount of reduced price breakfasts and reduced price lunches, then the state for each and every one of those would provide a match of 15 cents per lunch and 35 cents per breakfast.
Right. So it's not additional money for additional food items. It's just supplanting or subsidizing the effort that's going on now. Is that accurate?
Yes. The school districts would be able to decide how to spend the money.
Thank you.
Another question. Senator Meyer.
I think, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to follow up on Senator Huggins' question. So the extra money that the school districts are now getting for these lunches and breakfast, we don't know if that's buying more food or if that's I think you mentioned to me the other day that some schools are actually taking money away from what may be going to the classroom to pay for the school lunch and breakfast. So I guess the question is, this will free up more money for the school districts, is that what this extra money does? It doesn't necessarily buy more food. Maybe you can help clarify that for me.
I believe all schools, all school districts make their own decisions on how they, within whatever parameters they have, on how they choose to supplement these food programs. But they all do supplement, it's my understanding, the breakfast and lunch programs, the ones that have it. And so, but I believe and we have online also a representative from the Alaska School Nutrition Association, Amy Rouse, and they can tell you more about what each individual school does.
Okay.
But some money that could go to education may go to food currently, and vice versa.
Okay.
Other questions?
Mr. Chairman, what you're really trying to do with this bill, you are making sure that those districts that's providing the breakfasts and lunches, and many of them are going into the other funds to pay for that, that reimbursement would then allow them to not do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that is the main purpose of this bill.
Yes, Senator Davis, through the chair, that is the purpose of the bill.
Okay.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you look at the bill, is there widespread support amongst the people down at the ground level at these schools? Because you're going to have cooks that have to come in earlier. You've got supervisors, personnel that has to come in earlier to go ahead and make sure that things are kept under control, especially when you're providing breakfast at a fairly early hour, especially for those maybe those parents that are normally going to work.
Yes, Senator Olson, through the chair. We haven't heard any complaints from anyone. I had a couple emails from people who were concerned about increasing costs, but by and large, the vast majority has been supportive. When the school boards were here last week or the week before, spoke with a number of different school board members from a variety of school districts, and there was pretty unanimous support from them. And the Food Coalition people were here last week as well, and there was widespread support among those groups as well. But I hadn't heard any complaints at all.
Mr. Chairman, a follow-up?
Certainly. Go right ahead.
In our last paragraph, it talks about the school investing in school meals will improve school attendance performance. Are there studies out there that show that indeed school performance, attendance, and decrease of in violence as well as childhood obesity especially is going to be affected by a breakfast?
Senator Olson, this is George Ascott here. There are abstracts of numerous studies that have been provided in your hearing packet.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Senator Meyer.
Yep. Just one more question, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. And this may be a question for one of the other witnesses to come before us. But how do you qualify for this? I mean, I certainly can understand if somebody lost their job and they don't have money to provide lunch and breakfast for their kids that we need to help in those circumstances. But let's say you lost your job and September and October, and you qualified for this program, but then you were able to get a job and make decent money in December or January. Do you stay on the program, or how often do you have to qualify?
Senator Meyer, I believe that each school district has their own application process for the free and reduced breakfast and lunch program, provided that they offer that program. And I'm not sure the details, but once again, we do have the, I believe, a representative from the School Nutrition Association, which administers these programs online.
Thank you.
Just further?
No. If I could just...
Other questions?
To
Senator Wilkowski.
A little bit more on that. Generally, for the free breakfast program, it's children who fall below 130% of the federal poverty level. And then for the reduced price breakfast, it's between 130 and 185% of the federal poverty level. So, but how each individual school determines, what time of year you fall within that, I think we have people online who can talk about specifics.
Yeah.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, I think there's potentially one other component. If it's 70%, I think it's a Title I school, which may entitle the whole school based on Title I classification. That's one of the differences. And, Mr. Chairman, if I might, just for a second.
Certainly.
I don't know anybody that doesn't want to make sure that the kids are well-fed and comfortable in learning and all those sort of things. But as I recall, I think the foundation formula this year, we're adding over $50 million additional into the schools. And, the question, I guess, in my mind is whether that 50-some million dollars would cover some of these elements without being a burden on the schools, for lack of a better term.
That's a good question. Probably better answered by the administration when we get them here before us. Anything else? Any other questions? Hearing none, and yes, and there is a formula. It's fairly complex, so I understand you're wanting the administration to explain it in detail, and we'll get to that next, I believe, unless you have anything else, Senator Wilkowski,
Mr. Chairman.
If not, thank you for presenting the bill, and with that, we will have the administration come forward to answer some of the questions that have already been asked that might help the general public who cares to testify as well. So, Eddie Jeans, please put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development.
Didn't you want to have any of your other staff come up here just to help you out a little bit? Give them a little experience?
No, that's okay.
They'd probably throw me under the bus if I did that. right at this moment. First thing that I wanted to address, Mr. Chairman, was the question regarding how districts are currently paying for these programs.
Good.
Because they are free and reduced, they are transferring money from their school operating fund to cover the deficit that this program runs. And it does run a deficit in every program across the state and every school district that offers a program. Based on the 2008 financial statements, districts transferred $9.1 million to cover that deficit. And so it's going to vary, obviously, from district to district, depending on how many students qualify for the free versus reduced, whether they're doing a combined lunch breakfast program or just breakfast or just lunch. You are correct. I don't have a fiscal note for you because I wasn't aware of the CS, and so we'll get to work on that this afternoon. And I can't tell you if it's going to go up or down at this point, but we will be happy to work on that. The other item that I'd like to bring to your attention is that this piece of legislation puts this program in the foundation program. Quite frankly, I don't think that's the appropriate place, and I'd be happy to work with Senator Wilkowski to identify what section of statute would be a better place to put this particular program. Because as you're all well aware, we do have a component in our budget that is child and nutrition services. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would be happy to answer what few questions I probably can about the program itself.
Are there, Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you look at this bill, are the private schools eligible for this type of match as well?
To the chair, Senator Olson, this bill addresses school districts specifically. There are other providers out there that would not qualify under this program,
so
as it's currently written.
So private schools, are they eligible for federal funds as well for meals? Do you know?
To the chair, Senator Olson, I believe so, if they have students that qualify for the program. I do know that there's other nonprofits out there that participate in the program that would not qualify under this program because it's restricted to public schools.
And so this bill for sure is just for public schools?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Eddie, then, is it safe then to say the administration supports this bill?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I haven't gotten clearance through the governor's office to say we support this bill.
Okay. And then I think I don't want to speak for Senator Huggins, but I think you heard his question that with additional money now coming through the foundation formula, will some of these costs for meals be taken care of in that additional money? And then a follow-up to that would be that if we do supplement the costs, that should then free up money for the school districts to use in the classrooms. Is that correct?
Yeah. Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I think your analysis is accurate. School districts will tell you that money that you're providing to them through the foundation program should stay in instruction. And currently, they're transferring $9.1 million out of their, what they would call their instructional budget, to support the food service budget. So I can tell you with a lot of confidence that school districts are going to be very supportive of this bill because it will free up a portion of that 9.1 that they're currently transferring.
Okay, and then if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly, continue.
The question I had earlier is just on the application process itself. Is this something they do in August and then don't review it till the next year, or is it done twice or three times a year?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I'm going to have to get back to you on that. I believe it's done once a year.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Eddie. I certainly believe that that kids perform better when they're prepared and they've had a good luck breakfast to begin the day with. I guess my question is, we want to do that to all kids, whether they come from a wealthy family or a poor family. And is there a way in this program for someone to buy the lunch or the breakfast, even though they may not comply with the low income? And then I guess connection would also need to be made with the social stigma of, you know, if I remember when grade school kids are so wrapped up in social status and could be easily, you know, decide, well, I'm not going to stand on that line because it makes now people realize my family is poor. Is there some kind of way to straighten that out, or are we just stuck with that?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, there are provisions in the child nutrition law that address that, where I want to say they have to mask those children that are eligible for the free or reduced lunch. Those districts that do offer these breakfast or lunch programs, quite often they do accommodate families that want to purchase those. I can tell you it doesn't happen in all cases, though, because sometimes they simply don't have the staff or the food to expand that offering. But I do know that we do have a couple school districts in the state that are providing either a breakfast or lunch program that are not participating in the school lunch program, and maybe with this legislation they would start participating as well.
Thank you. Senator Huggins, you had another question?
Yeah, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Eddie, I think it would be valuable for us. I know Metsu has what they call federal programs, and I assume each district has the equivalent of that, which dovetails into what we're talking here on the nutritional services. But could you give us a 30-second burst on federal programs as it applies to Title I nutritional services, supplemental monies that come from the federal government?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I think what you're referring to is that those that are income-based programs. And the Title I schools are identified based on the percentage of student population that are low-income students. And that's what drives the eligibility under this particular program as well.
Right. And certainly, Mr. Chairman, if I might, you know, my wife is a principal and, you know, I'm sure is supportive of some of the things that's in this bill. But there's a whole menu of items. In her mind, she thinks there's a number of kids that come that take a shower, but they don't have a shower at their house. And according to which child it is, how important that is an interesting one. But the other one, there's a number of organizations but the food bank primarily, that provide food to the schools, to some schools, that schools that that have a working relationship with them. And there are some. There's some provisions to dovetail into some of those, and I guess I would encourage all of us to leverage that. In some places, it's not applicable; it won't work. And the ones that will, I would encourage us to look at that. And the other one, to be quite frank, you said $9.1 million deficit. We're going to give the school districts over additional $50 million, and not that they don't need more than that, and that may in fact be the case. But if the deficit is 9.1, we're giving them over $50 million. How much does that offset? Which I think is a legitimate question.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I understand what you're saying about the additional funds through the foundation program, but school districts will argue that money is intended for instructional programs and not to cover deficits in a federal lunch program. But they have been using their operating funds to cover that deficit for a very long time. And that's why you're going to see so much support for this particular legislation, that the state would actually step up, identify a particular pot of money to support the breakfast and lunch program.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. In regards to that, then, will there be a track on this money, since this is specifically for the program, so that will allow them to extract from the program or extract what they're spending today to supplement the program, and this will replace that money? Is that going to be a difficult item to audit so we know that it's actually, that this money is going for its intended purpose?
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's one of the reasons why I would like to work with the bill sponsor and identify the proper place in statute for this program to be placed. As it's currently written, it would be additional state funding through the foundation program. And so once it goes out the door from the state, it kind of loses its identity. And I think it's important that we identify and track this money separately. Food service programs are a special revenue fund. They're tracked separately from the general operating fund. And so I think it would be appropriate that we have it in a separate category so we know it's going for its intended purpose. I do not believe that the bill, as it was written, that I did the fiscal note or on the CS, will cover the full deficit. It's going to offset that deficit. So districts are still going to have to transfer money from the school operating fund to cover that.
Okay, very good. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the middle paragraph, it says to compensate for higher costs, rural schools will receive additional assistance through a funding formula based on the applicable school district cost factor for each district. Is that going to make it so that there's a proportionate amount of money going to rural schools versus other schools, that to make it so that the rural schools aren't being docked more, since they've got usually a lower population than some of the urban centers?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I believe it's to provide a small incremental adjustment to the rural districts to help offset the additional cost of transportation of goods and that sort of thing. The adjustment factor is pretty small in there for the geographic differential, but definitely it will assist those rural areas.
So if I'm hearing, Mr. Chairman,
So
if I'm hearing what you're saying is that the rural schools are still going to have to subsidize a percentage more than some of the larger schools?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I would have to do a little more analysis before I could substantiate that statement.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Other questions? Hearing none, thank you for your testimony.
Okay, thank you.
We'll now go to those online. Let's take up this first page. We have Amy Rouse for Fairbanks, for the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you, and good morning.
Please put yourself on the record and your affiliation and start your testimony.
My name is Amy Rouse, and I am the Director of Nutrition Services with the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District and an active member of the Alaska School Nutrition Association. I would like to share some information with you and ask that you move Senate Bill 213 forward. Currently, 30% of our students qualify to receive their meals at the free or reduced rate. On average, we serve 1,500 breakfasts and 5,000 lunches per day. These meals are nutritionally well-balanced and provide our students with a wide variety of fresh produce and whole grain items. In the month of January, we served over 27,000 breakfasts and 92,000 lunches. 28% of the breakfasts and 66% of the lunches were served to students who qualified to receive meals at the free or reduced rate. Our meals program is extremely important to those who live in a variety of households, such as food poor, military, migrants, those who are struggling to make ends meet, and to those who don't have a permanent home, like the homeless and children in transition. We take great pride in ensuring that our students receive the best we can afford to provide and to serve meals the students want to eat. I have worked in school nutrition for over 17 years. One thing has never changed, and that is the expectation of self-sufficiency. Many school districts expect the Nutrition Services Department to generate enough revenue to cover expenses. Over the years, this has become increasingly difficult. In fact, we are estimating a $300,000 shortfall this year, but we have not compromised the nutritional integrity of our meals as a result of rising costs. The amount of funds available through federal reimbursement and from the price of paid school meals does not cover the food, non-food supplies, transportation costs, and the labor associated with producing a school lunch. We are getting creative in our attempts to cut costs, but it is not enough. Simply put, school nutrition programs are running out of funds. You can make a difference and have a direct impact on state funding for school nutrition programs. I believe I speak for many when I say the funds included in Senate Bill 213 would help us continue to provide the meals that many have come to expect and will continue to expect as we feed future generations of Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there questions? Senator Stevens.
I just want to make sure I understand, Amy. The implication I think I got from your testimony was that one-third of the students pay their own way for lunches and two-thirds then are under free and reduced. Is that true?
No, actually it's the reverse. One-third of our student population qualifies to receive their meals at free and reduced rates and two-thirds do not.
So you provide lunches to all children regardless of whether they're able to pay or not, right?
That is correct.
And what does that cost a student who, for example, for a lunch, who just comes in and needs lunch and pays for it?
A student who doesn't qualify for free or reduced price meal benefits at the elementary school pays $3 for a lunch, and at secondary, they pay $3.25.
Thank you, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Amy, Charlie Huggins here from Wasilla. Good to hear from you. You mentioned military. The military gets federal impact funds to the school district. Is there a food component to that?
No, there is not.
Yeah, do you know how much that is presently, the federal impact funds?
I do not. My boss, the CFO, would be able to answer that question, but since I'm not the recipient of any of those funds, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm thinking of fund sources. And the other one that's unique to us, as I recall, migrant labor includes some categories of commercial fishermen, and whether that's a small pot or a big pot of money that comes to school districts.
Yeah, I really am not able to address that either.
Okay, thank you very much, and thanks for testifying today.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
Other questions? If there are none, thank you, Amy, for being with us this morning, and thank you for your testimony.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Next, we would have, if I can get the name right, Michael Sobosinski. Are you with us this morning?
I am.
Oh, you're here. Oh, good. Okay. Please put yourself on the record and your affiliation and your testimony.
For the record, Chairman Thomas, Mike Sobosinski. I am a member of the Board of Directors for the Food Bank of Alaska and a psychologist. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with you all today. I would like to speak with you from my experience working with children and adolescents and families as a psychologist primarily. The issues that challenge many of our children to be successful are very numerous and very complex. And as I go from venue to venue and have the opportunity to speak with colleagues and others, I'm impressed by how complex and interacting many of the situations that our children grow up in and have to deal with are. There are not a lot of silver bullets and easy answers for the kinds of things that we can do to help our children be successful learning, not only academically, but socially and emotionally. And they're all interactive. One of the things that as Senator Wilkowski mentioned, that we do know is that there are studies that have shown the benefit of nutrition to children being successful at their major jobs, which is going to school. It doesn't take care of everything, but it makes a big difference. And I have watched many children over the years who, when they are able to be fed and not be hungry, are able to concentrate and focus and attend. And anecdotally, I just want to support the importance of that and support this legislation moving forward. And I want to thank the committee.
Thank you very much. Other questions? Senator Stevens.
You're probably the right one to speak to us about the reduction in violence. Can you comment on that? Has that been your experience? Or have you read the reports that we have noted in our documents here?
Senator Stevens, through the chair, I have some familiarity with the research. I certainly would say anecdotally again that as children are not hungry and they are able to be in the classroom, that you do see an improvement in behavior. It's just very difficult to take care of business when you're not properly fed. So I think, yes.
We certainly see that here in Juneau, too. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman Thomas. Michael, the business of child obesity, huge problem in our society, and diabetes and all those sorts of things. There's a significant number of young people that go to school in the area that I represent would be beneficiaries of that, and I'm obviously supportive of it. On the other hand, you know, the business of what they eat and what it does to their body is a whole different question. So I guess I would ask you, as we're spending more state money directed to the task, it appears that we should have more control over what the kids eat or we offer to them to eat. And I know we've taken out pop machines out of the schools and things of that nature, but the business of a healthy diet. Could you help us with that, about what your recommendations would be going forward?
Senator Huggins, through the chair, I think that's one of those issues that I can certainly speak to personally. I know there are people online who have much more day-to-day experience, including Susanna Morgan, who's the executive director of the food bank. I certainly think what we offer makes a big difference, and diets that are, you know, cheap calories and don't provide proper nutrition are not helpful. But in beyond that, I think I would be out of my league offering an opinion.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other questions? Thank you for your testimony this morning.
Thank you very much.
And since we have several people to testify, if people could hold, and probably some questions, if people could hold their comments or testimony to 3 or 4 minutes, that would be greatly appreciated. Next up would be Brent Rock with the Anchorage School District.
Yes, I'm here.
Please put yourself on the record and your affiliation and continue.
I would like to start off by giving you a little history about what has happened over the last 3 years. I don't think you have to read the headlines in the newspapers or in the nutritional magazines about the high cost of food. It's at an all-time high cost, especially in the state of Alaska, where we got the additional shipping charges and fuel surcharges in order to get the food to Alaska. And it's even more pronounced when you move that food out into the rural areas and into the bush areas of Alaska. One of the things that we have noticed is that there's a concerted effort to improve the student nutrition programs around the state of Alaska. We have followed suit with that. 3 years ago, we worked with the community and with our local individuals, students, and parents of the school district to develop a wellness policy. We discovered that in low socioeconomic areas, they cannot afford to buy the more healthy foods, and consequently they go to the more sugar-laden and fatty foods in those areas. And we wanted to reverse that trend by example and by what we provided in the schools, more fresh fruits, more fresh vegetables, and the like. Consequently, we did go to that, and our wellness policy was developed at some length and was adopted by the school board. Well, at the same time as we implemented that wellness policy, which cost us more, we had to put more into the student nutrition program, was the same time that we had this drop in economy and the increase in the prices of food and labor. That's where we're at today. We have been able to run a program, for the most part, which is at a break-even level. That changed 3 years ago. For the first time in about 15 years, our board put in $1.12 million to help offset the higher cost in order to provide a healthy, nutritious meal for our students. That is not the only thing that we're concerned about here. We're also concerned about the fact that this has to be a dual role. It can't be just the states that make up the difference. We are lobbying continuously through our various organizations for the federal reimbursement to be increased. It does not pay the full cost of a free meal. It doesn't in some cases even come close to that, and I won't go into the figures even though I have them here in front of me and can share them with you what the reimbursement rates are. The sad part about this, it doesn't matter where you live, it's the same reimbursement. You can live out in a small bush community, which is a higher price, and you get the same reimbursement as you do in Anchorage, where we have a larger population. Now, in Anchorage, we have seen almost a 10% increase in free and reduced students over the last 2 to 3 years. That may not sound like much, but when you have 50,000 students, and you go from about 20-25% in free and reduced students up to 38% to 40% in free and reduced students, that has a direct impact upon your program. We receive very little for a full price meal on the reimbursement. We receive considerably more for a reduced price meal, and it doesn't matter whether it's breakfast or lunch, and then we receive, in theory, what's supposed to be the full cost of the meal for the free meals. None of these match what it costs us to produce the meal. We currently do not break even. We run in the red in our high school program, in our middle school program. District-wide, that includes the elementary schools, we do not break even with the breakfast program. We have breakfast out of our 83 schools. We now have breakfast in 56 of them. We would like to have breakfast in all of them. We think it makes a huge difference. I presented my superintendent, Carol Como, with a study that was done back in 1995. Now, I have others that are before that time, but this particular study was done with a large population of students. And the outcome of that study showed definitely that students are more alert if they eat breakfast. They do better in school academically. They are more likely not to have to go to the nurse, and they have less discipline problems in school. I also presented my superintendent with a recent study which verified that and said the exact same thing. So we have known probably for the last two decades that breakfast does make a tremendous difference in how well kids will do in school. Now, again, our average cost for a lunch, I'm using that because that's pretty well standard in our school district, ranges between $3.95 and $4.18 to produce. We received from the federal government $3.95, so you can see in many cases we go in the hole. The one thing that has allowed us to survive is our high volume. we can provide more volume, more meals to the students than most other school districts can because of our size. And that's the only thing that keeps us near a break-even note on our program. Now, I'd like to end with this small thing. We really do want to provide, and we're doing our best to do that, more fresh fruits, more fresh vegetables. A lot of it has to be canned simply because of shipping, and we don't have large farms up here in Alaska. But that seems to be one of the keys to a healthier, productive student when they have these fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. But if we do that, it's going to cost us even more than what we're currently spending per pupil. And I'll leave it at that and entertain any questions that the senators may have.
Are there any questions for Mr. Rock?
Yeah.
Charlie, Senator Huggins.
Yes. Thank you, Brent. You know, when you were going through the traits of eating well, I think we should get you down here and feed the legislature so we can be under good deportment. My first question is local purchase. Do you purchase any farmers' products, local purchase, from Alaskan farmers?
We do out of the Mat Valley. Our vegetables as much as we can. Now, keep in mind, we are bound by the state and federal laws that says we can no longer do the 5 or 10% preference for local purchase. So we have to make a pretty good case if they're underbid by outside sources. In some cases, we can't win that one. But we do get a number of those out of the valley area. And we do purchase the Alaska pollen. There's some other items that we purchased that definitely are from Alaska.
Right. My final question, could you just tell us what's on the menu this morning in your school district, both for breakfast and for lunch?
I'm sorry, I haven't even been into the office this morning. I came straight to here. But we publish our menu, and it is on our web page.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Senator Beyer.
Mr. Chairman, if I may briefly, Mr. Rock, in Anchorage, how often do we go through the application process for the reduced meals?
It's a yearly process. Now, keep in mind that we have in the state what's called a direct certification. All those individuals that qualify on the direct certification do not have to enter a application. They're automatically free. An example would be anybody that's on public assistance, food stamps, a migrant, is homeless. And I didn't mention that we currently have seen a tremendous rise in our homeless population. We are now up to, including our preschoolers, 3,000 homeless students, and they all automatically qualify. But it is a 1 year. You apply once each year.
Okay, if I may, Mr.
Certainly.
So I think we heard that lunch is provided for everyone, and some people pay the full price, some get a reduced price. What about breakfast? Isn't that a little more selective, who gets breakfast and who doesn't?
Well, the breakfast is probably the program we lose the most on because of the cost of producing it and the little... We just don't get much federal reimbursement for it, to be honest with you. The maximum federal reimbursement for a breakfast program for a severe need student, this is for a severe need student, is going to be about $285, and we have very few schools that qualify for severe need. I won't go into explaining what that means, but there's a difference between a regular school and schools that have high populations of free and reduced students. We have 11 schools that are... the whole school eats free because we're called provision schools.
Okay. Well, I guess my question was not all the students eat breakfast at the school. Is that correct?
That's correct. In fact, there's a low percentage of students who are eligible to eat breakfast that do eat breakfast.
Yeah. So I guess back to a question asked earlier by Senator Stevens. Is there kind of a stigma then on those that do get provided breakfast in the mornings that you know they're a little different than the rest of the folks?
I don't think so, because we have individuals that pay for breakfast as well. The issue isn't whether the student will eat or not. In many cases, the issue is can the buses get there in time to be able to eat. And we're working with our transportation department diligently and with our superintendent, because she's very much in favor of this, of being able to eventually change that system so that they can. We have one school that we now have eating breakfast in the classroom just so all the kids can eat breakfast, and we'd like to see all schools go to that, and I think we'd see a major change in academic achievement.
Okay, and then finally, and certainly I agree that no fault of the kids, that their parents, if they have parents, can afford to feed them lunch and breakfast. But what happens to these kids in the summer?
We have a summer feeding program. We feed not only at the summer schools themselves, where all kids that can eat, that choose to eat there, but we also go out to different venues, including, for instance, those of you who are familiar with the Anchorage area. We go out even to the Lions Park with a truck and feed the kids out at the park.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other questions? Hearing none, thank you, Mr. Rock, for your testimony. Next up would be Susanna Morgan.
Good morning. This is Susanna Morgan. I'm the Executive Director of Food Bank of Alaska. Thank you so much for allowing us to speak. The Food Bank of Alaska and the Alaska Food Coalition recently conducted the 2010 Hunger Study, and it's part of a national study. It's methodologically recognized by the Heritage Foundation, so it crosses bipartisan approach on how we study this. And we found that 74,000 individual Alaskans are asking for food assistance at a food pantry, soup kitchen, or shelter every year. Of those 74,000, 42% have children under the age of 18 in their household. Now, as Senator Huggins says, the Food Bank of Alaska and our 300 partners around the state do our darndest to get food assistance to those families. Our best estimate is that we need to distribute 13 million pounds each year. We're distributing 6. So we're only halfway to where we need to get to in order to fight hunger in this state. And frankly, we need help. And one of the best ways that we know that we can help make sure that our kids aren't going hungry as we're struggling to find that other 7 million pounds of food is to make sure that the kids have every opportunity to get meals at schools. So when we looked around and found that 25% of Alaskan schools, over 100 schools, are not offering the school breakfast program, we said, okay, here's a major opportunity for us to be able to feed our kids, improve their school performance, decrease discipline problems, decrease obesity issues, all at the same time. It's a win-win-win from multiple perspectives. So that's why we are delighted to be working with Senator Welikowski and the 8 senators who co-sponsored this bill to bring additional funds to breakfast. When we talked to the School Nutrition Association about why breakfast wasn't being offered in those 100 schools, the answer was because we can't afford it. And then we looked around and found that nearly every state, you know, almost 40 states, offer some kind of support for school breakfast, and felt that this was something that the state of Alaska could step up and do and offer to our children. I will say that we don't believe this is just a state responsibility. Coming up before Congress this year is the Child Nutrition Reauthorization Act, which will give us the opportunity to advocate for increased reimbursements from the federal level. And I promise you the Food Bank of Alaska and the Alaska's Food Coalition will be there at the side of the School Nutrition Association saying, hey, we're helping at the state level. We need more help from the federal level as well. I want to close by answering two questions that were brought up earlier. One was the question around obesity. There are really clear and interesting studies that show that when kids eat breakfast at school, they are less likely to suffer from obesity, even if they have had breakfast at home. So even if they're having a second breakfast, because these foods are healthier, they're eaten earlier in the day, so they have a chance to metabolize, and they're likely to replace unhealthy foods eaten later in the day, chips, soda, those kinds of things. So one of the best things we can do to fight obesity, interestingly enough, at the same time while we're fighting hunger, is providing a breakfast. And then lastly, I'm afraid I didn't catch which senator it was that was asking a question around summer food. Alaska ranks 49th in the state for providing summer meals for our kids. For every 100 kids who get a lunch at school during the school year, only 7 get a meal during the summertime. We're working hard on that at the Food Bank of Alaska. We sponsored 32 summer food sites last year. Happy, delighted to work with anyone in the future around how what we can do to increase summer meals. Thank you so much for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Are there questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony this morning. Next up would be Penny Badla, if I pronounced that correctly. Are you with us today, Penny?
Yes, I am.
Please put yourself on the record, state your affiliation, and continue with your testimony.
Yes, my name is Penny Badla, and I am a Kenai Peninsula Borough School District member. I'm calling in support of Senate Bill 213. I am asking that you please support funding for school meals. Currently, 40% of Kenai Peninsula Borough School District families qualify for a free and reduced lunch. Kenai Peninsula Borough School District provides free and reduced lunch at 32 schools. Currently, we have a population of 200 homeless students. For some students, these meals are the only two nutritional meals they eat each day. Currently, the cost is 35 cents for breakfast and 15 cents for lunch. Currently, it costs the school district approximately $300,000 that is taken out of the general fund, which is designated for classroom money. This greatly impacts classrooms, as I know most of you probably are well aware. Money from the foundation formula should be used for instructional purposes for what it was intended. It is a well-known fact that the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District has always been fiscally responsible, and this bill would reimburse the district approximately $110,000. Also, please note, school meals are very strictly monitored for nutrition. I know when I try to go down and get something fattening and can't find it. It is imperative that Senate Bill 213 pass so that we can ensure that no child is left hungry. A hungry child is a child who faces the possibility of not learning to his or her potential. There are many brain development studies out there that show a direct correlation between nutrition and brain capabilities. So I really would urge you, as a parent and as a school board member and as a former teacher for 30 years in the high school setting, that you pass this bill and ensure that our children are given the opportunity to reach their potential that I know all of us want them to reach. And I thank you for your time.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Our chairman is off to a finance committee, but we'll go ahead and continue with the public testimony. And as was mentioned, he wants to hold this bill over, but we'll continue with the testimony. So with that, let's go to Dean Hamburg.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Dean Hamburg. I serve as director for the school meal programs across the Kenai Peninsula school district, with schools in Homer, Seward, Soldotna, Manwalik, Pionic, all across the Kenai Peninsula. Senate Bill 213 serves as an appropriate and responsible support to school meal programs provided for the Kenai and all across Alaska. While the USDA does provide as much as $34 million a year to feed our Alaska children, the per meal reimbursement rate is still insufficient to prevent schools from having to take classroom dollars to feed their children. Here on the in KPBSD, the average funding we receive per meal in the mix of cash and reimbursements is about $3.90 for a meal. which speaks to the reality that we're asked to provide a complete lunch for about the price of a latte. The expense challenge is significant for road system schools and rural Alaska school meal programs. This year on the Kenai, we'll provide over 900,000 school meals to hungry students this year. This necessary school support assists teachers for a successful classroom day to minimize class management issues, all related to hunger. Hunger is real for our Alaska students and is at times a significant barrier for classroom success. 2 in 5 families in Alaska qualify for free or reduced price meals. We have 200 homeless children perpetually in our school district pretty much depends solely on school meals. Monday mornings is a remarkable time to see children that have been waiting for that first school breakfast. We have 40% of our families qualifying for free and reduced price meals. The application process that is strictly monitored by the USDA is remarkable. It is in order to qualify for free and reduced price meals. And the reimbursements we see through the state agency, Child Nutrition Services, and the accounting and auditing practices in place do ensure that every reimbursement dollar goes to the school meal programs. It's not lost in some either. Just the opposite, where we're taking operational dollars intended for the classroom to meet that basic need of child nutrition. It would be wonderful to think that we have volunteer agencies and other entities ready to fill the gap, but there is no way those well-intending groups can meet the need of almost 10 million school meals a year here in the Great Land. The federal government has been doing all the heavy lifting with feeding our Alaska children. It's really, really time that the state share in some degree in taking responsibility for helping our kids with school meals. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Let's go back to Wasilla and Eddie Ezel.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Eddie Ezel, and I appreciate you guys having us speak to you this morning. I'm the executive director of the food pantry in Wasilla, and I'm here to encourage you to support SB 213. The funding for the school and breakfast and district across Alaska is very important. I'll try not to bore you with all the numbers, because I'm sure we've all heard lots of those numbers. One of the numbers that I have is the January client numbers for the food pantry here in Wasilla. We served 3,573 clients alone. February, and we're only halfway through February, we've already served 1,800 clients. We also struggle to provide nutrition to Alaskan families, which includes a lot of the children that we see out here in the school district. We provide approximately 1.5 meals, 1.5 meals per client who come to see us. And I don't, again, want to bore you with a whole lot of numbers, but I would like to challenge the senators. If you don't think that missing a meal makes a difference, I would like to challenge you to try skipping your lunch today and see if you can concentrate on the task at hand after lunch, or if you're going to think about food all afternoon. I really strongly encourage you to pass this bill. It can make a difference in our future of our children and our leaders of the future, and because no child should go hungry. Thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Eddie. Okay, let's see. Is it Awana Salmon?
Mm-hmm. This is Alexana Salmon. I'm the president and acting administrator of the Gyalgik Village Council. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Our village council is one of the 82 active organizations of the Alaska Food Coalition. And as such, we ask for you to join in our support for Senate Bill 213. I don't have any of the lunch figures myself either, and I couldn't hear with my connection half of what has been said already, so I guess I'll just share a little bit of a personal story. I'm the foster mother of 2 9- and 10-year-olds, that belong to the that are in the state's custody right now. And this morning I had arranged for my sister to bring them to school because as they were eating their breakfast, I told them, you know, there's a lot of kids out there that don't get breakfast in the morning, and I have a meeting starting at 8 a.m. to discuss this. And they kind of smiled because these two girls have suffered food insecurity in the past before they were brought to my house. And it was their own responsibility to make it to school. That's a huge responsibility for a 9 and 10-year-old. And they still suffer from food insecurity. From the time they get up, they're asking, you know, what's for dinner? And I have seen the direct link with feeding, between working at as an assistant at the school and raising foster girls over the last 2 years. I've seen the direct link between improved nutrition and quality of education through feeding children alone. And in rural Alaska, the schools are pretty much the heart of the community. They're the largest employer, and they all village functions take place at the school. So it takes up it's just basically the heart of the community. And I think, I've been born and raised in Iquiagig, and I understand the need for the state to support the school lunch and breakfast program across the state. Our school district, Lincoln Peninsula School District, doesn't serve breakfast, and I can understand why, with the high cost of living out here. And I was actually in school when they instituted the school lunch program, and saw the difference in nutrition level, which is very important for especially rural Alaska and Native Alaskans that suffer a high rate of diabetes out here. And anyway, at the very least, I feel Senate Bill 213 will provide school districts at least a feasible option to beginning a breakfast program, and as well as supporting the lunch program. So thank you very much for your time, and please consider the bill.
Okay, thank you for your testimony this morning. All right, let's go to Jordis Clark with the Food Bank of Alaska.
Hi, this is Jordis Clark. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thanks. If there was some disruption in the background, I happen to be at the elementary school where I work in Anchorage, and we just did morning announcements, and it may have been a bit noisy, so I apologize. For the record, my name is Jordis Clark. I'm a school nurse from the Anchorage School District. I'm also a board member of Food Bank of Alaska. I also hold an advanced degree in public health. I was a member of the Wellness Policy Committee with Dr. Brent Rock several years ago here in Anchorage, and was a collector for data for the hunger study that Susanna Morgan mentioned just recently. The first thing I want to say is today in the Anchorage School District, in the elementary schools, to answer a question, the breakfast is whole grain Belgian waffles or a cereal, unsweetened applesauce, and a half pint of non-fat milk. So if you're looking for a nutritious breakfast, you can get it at Anchorage this morning in one of the elementary schools. Another question to answer, there was one of the senators asked about if you could identify children who are on free or reduced lunch or breakfast. In our school, you cannot. I went to our lunch lady yesterday to find out how many of our students are served lunch every day. On free and reduced meals, and she could not tell me. She said she could ask at the administration building, but that could get me into some trouble if I knew those numbers. So that data is carefully guarded. I am totally in favor of having school breakfast available in all the schools. We see kids at our school every day that didn't get breakfast. We see kids here in the morning that are having discipline problems. There was a question about violence and an association of reducing violence in the schools, if there's been breakfast eaten well. When we have kids in our office that are having discipline problems, one of the first questions we ask them is, have you had breakfast? And if not, we find them something to eat, although our school does not offer a breakfast program. We scrounge around, we find them some milk, we get them some applesauce, we find them something that they can have to eat. If they had that school breakfast available at school, it could make a better morning for them. They may not be having these discipline problems. They might not be in the office. They might be in the classroom where they belong. We're seeing more and more students coming into our school at Sand Lake. We've got almost 700 students, one of the largest elementary schools in the state. And we have more and more students coming into us that have come from places where school breakfasts were available, and the parents are shocked and, I'll say, dismayed that their children are not able to get breakfast at school. It's just adding another component to a morning that may not have started out the best, and if a breakfast was available at school, these children could certainly benefit from it. I'm totally in favor of these school breakfasts because, one, they're nutritionally sound, and they are also portion controlled, which are major factors in combating obesity. My own daughter went to this school. She had 7 years of school lunches. I was thrilled that she got those meals every day that had this strong nutritional component and were portion controlled. We knew how many calories were going in. It's just a great way for kids to get nutrition without getting extra calories. And because I have to get back to my desk here shortly, I'll stop right there. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Great. Thank you for your testimony this morning. Thank you for joining us. Okay, let's see. Let's go to Pat Luby. Pat, are you with us this morning?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Pat Luby. I'm the Advocacy Director for AARP in Alaska. AARP may at first appear to be the odd fellow at the table here, but our members are grandparents, and they're concerned about their grandchildren and all of Alaska's grandchildren. The evidence is in. You've seen it and heard it. Children who have breakfast and lunch at school learn better. Nutrition is important for scholarship. We do have many children who are being raised by their grandparents. Over 8,000 children being raised by over 5,400 Alaskan grandparents. 11.5% of these grandparents live below the federal poverty level. If you are older and living below the poverty level, life can be difficult. If you are also raising your grandchildren and you are below the poverty level, you're living at the edge. These grandparents can use all the help you can give them. Providing breakfast and lunch for their grandchildren at all our schools will help the students succeed and the grandparents continue to raise these kids. AARP recommends your support of Senate Bill 213. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony this morning, Pat. Okay, let's go to Heather Harris.
Hello. Thank you, Senator Meyer, Chair of the Senate Committee, and all of the Senate Education Committee members for your time on this important issue. I'm here today as the Program Manager with the Alaska Youth and Parent Foundation, AYPF, and as the incoming President of the Alaska Food Coalition. At AYPF, I have the privilege of working with at-risk and homeless youth through our office in the Anchorage Downtown Transit Center. On a weekly basis, our program is available for youth to access services, which include snacks and drinks. Unfortunately, due to our size, we're not able to provide a complete meal. After visiting our center and raiding our refrigerators, our clients have told us at times that this is the only thing that they have eaten all day. Many of our clients do not have supportive homes that provide meals. These youth are often led to fend for themselves, and I know that they're hungry. In the 2010 hunger study done by the Alaska Food Coalition and the Food Bank of Alaska, it states of pantry client households with children under 18 years old, in the last 12 months, 40% have skipped meals due to not having enough money for food. It is imperative that our youth receive a complete meal. Lack of adequate nutrition affects the cognitive behavioral development of children. Food insecurities is associated with grade repetition, absenteeism, tardiness, anxiety, aggression, poor mathematics skills, psychosocial dysfunction, and difficulty with social interactions. I thank you for your time and support on this issue and the opportunity to testify. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Heather. Thank you for your testimony. Let me see if there's anyone else online to testify. Okay. Doesn't sound like it. Anyone else here in Juneau? Oh, okay. Please join us. If you could, for the record, please.
Good morning. My name is Mary Francis. I'm the Executive Director of the School Administrators Association. Earlier, there was discussion among the committee members about input from the superintendents. I have not had any yet, but I will be glad to get that for you. And we do have a fly-in coming up the 7th through the 9th of March, so my members will be in town. As a former superintendent, I had the issues of trying to balance the budget. I inherited a food program that we subsidized in my little district to $20,000, and that was a lot of money, so we did turn that around, but I don't know if that's still possible with the cost of food having risen so much in several years since I was superintendent. But in any case, we really appreciate this bill, and I would look forward to seeing what my members think about it.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, and we'll look forward to the fly-in. You said March 7th?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for joining us today. Okay, if there's no one else to testify, we'll go ahead and close the public testimony. I think, Eddie, you're going to give us an updated fiscal note, and we'll have the rest of the members back, and we'll continue the discussion on this. I think my co-chairman wants to bring this back up on Friday, so we'll revisit this on Friday. And so that is our next meeting, Friday at 8 o'clock. And with that, we're adjourned.